You are listening to the Sound in Faith podcast, coming to you from Faith Baptist Fellowship in beautiful Sioux Falls, South Dakota. I'm Pastor Thomas Lawson.
And I'm Pastor Mike Johnson.
And our aim is to encourage the saints of Faith Baptist, our church, to believe sound doctrine and to live lives that adorn the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Every day.
Every single day. We need it. We need the gospel.
Yeah. We need it every day because we
forget it every day.
Every day.
Yeah, that's attributed to Martin Luther, I think, isn't it?
There's a lot of people who've said it.
Yeah, you said it.
I say it too. Yeah, I believe it. You know, Spurgeon certainly quoted it many times.
Yeah,
but where it's original, I'm not sure.
We need the gospel every day because we forget it every day. We need to be reminded of its truth and apply it to our lives.
Yeah.
And there are people out there that don't actually believe it.
That's absolutely true.
There are some that say they do believe it, but if we look at what their theology teaches, we realize they don't actually believe it.
And
they
I think that's the gospel. That's one of the most dangerous ways of. I mean, that's super dangerous.
Yeah,
you know, it's not the guy who says I totally reject this. It's all garbage. You know?
Right.
It's the guy who says no, I believe the same thing that you do, but doesn't
actually believe it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's a little bit about this mini-series that we're doing on the podcast. Can you believe it's already episode 4 of season 3?
We're cooking.
We are cooking along.
What's the difference? That's our new series. And we're basically comparing a whole lot of different things in theology. Last time, I think we did what's the difference between Baptists and Catholics.
Yeah.
This time, we're going to do the difference between LDS, or Latter-day Saints, Mormons, and Christians.
Yeah. Interesting. Let me ask a question. This isn't scripted here. Why say the difference between LDS, Latter-day Saints, and Christians? Why didn't we go LDS and Baptist? You know?
Yeah, because their differences are different. They're not another denomination.
Right.
They would like to portray themselves that way sometimes, or some of them would. But they're not. They're a different religion. You know, they're outside of the camp, as it were. And so, yeah, I think it's now. Again, I know, and we might even have some LDS listeners who are going to be hearing this, and they would object to that and say, "No, we are Christians, but not according to like how Paul the Apostle defines it." Or how I would, you know. So that's why we make the distinction LDS and. You know, it's funny, they don't call themselves Mormons. They're not supposed to call themselves Mormons anymore. Just recently, they changed to wanting to just refer to themselves as LDS, not Mormons, Latter-day Saints. But, you know. Burma's always Miramar to me.
Okay. So. Well, you know, and here's the thing. We could do an episode, maybe we will, what's the difference between Baptist and Presbyterians, and we would be having a conversation
That's coming up.
We would be having a conversation about differences between brothers.
Yeah, we might even have one come on the show.
Right.
Yeah.
But what we're talking about here is there is such a fundamental difference that's being discussed here that it's important to highlight these things. And even just recently, this is in the last couple of weeks, young guy came to me and wanted to kind of engage a little bit more about he's had these LDS missionaries coming to his door, talking to him, having these conversations. And the similarities are, you know, it sounds so close in some areas, but there are fundamental differences.
Framed. I also think they frame it so that it would appear close.
Yeah.
I ran into a lot of Mormons. I've had lots come to my door one time. They never come back, but they've come. I've seen them in parks and engaged in conversations, and they seem to always strike that that initial similarity.
Right.
Like, you know, they seem to say, oh, yeah, you're a Christian. We are too, you know, and that's the starting place for the conversation, which, again, is why I think it's good to do an episode on this. Pastorally speaking, I mean, one of our jobs is to guard the flock, right?
Right.
And so guard the flock from false teaching. And so, it's good to talk about the differences.
So we're not trying to be mean.
No.
Grumpy, you know. Cagey, anything like that.
No,
but
not insulting to people.
Correct. There are honest, fundamental differences, and we're pointing those out.
Yeah, and maybe we'll start with the similarity. This isn't scripted either, but I didn't mark this. If there is a similarity, what would you say it is?
I mean, if there is a similarity, it's there is an actual belief in the transcendent. There's a belief in things eternal.
Yeah.
I would say that would be one. So we're not talking about people who claim to be atheist.
No.
So there is a belief in there's something eternal out there.
Yeah, that's true. I was thinking more along the lines of like, there's a lot of moral similarities.
Oh yeah.
Like
yeah.
when it comes to values, family values and things like that. Now I think, you know, when you get below the surface, there's differences even there, for sure.
Right.
But, you know, the Mormons I know, and we had some friends in the city I lived in before that were pretty close to our family, and they, very moral, very kind, you know, not mean spirited or anything like that, and they would attribute that to their faith, so they would that standard of morality would be similar,
right? Yeah, you would find most Mormons would oppose abortion, would believe in the sanctity of life. Most would hold to a similar biblical ethic, or at least what we would call biblical ethic on sexual morality, gender identity, things like that. So yeah, there's some social common ground there.
Yeah.
But the differences are marked. And
sure.
It really begins with the difference of our view of who God is.
Yeah.
A fundamental difference of who God is. So let's talk about some of those differences.
Sure. Yeah, so for Christians, you want to do the Christian one, and I'll do the Mormon one, or you want me to do
I'll start with the Christian view of God. We believe, and I'm going to quote a catechism question here because it's just so ingrained in my mind, that God is the infinite, eternal, and unchangeable, everlasting being who is infinite in all of his ways: wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. He exists eternally in three distinct persons: the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, the same in substance, equal in power and glory. And we believe in one God in three persons eternally existing. The Son is not the Father, the Father is not the Son, the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son. Traditional, historic Christianity, Trinitarian, Nicene view of God, and that is who God is.
So we believe in the Trinity, and this is where Mormons would depart right away. And even their view of, so say they don't believe in the Trinity, they believe in three distinct persons, and God, who they refer to as God or Elohim, they like that Hebrew term Elohim, they would say that is the Father, he is God, and he's actually embodied in their thinking. He's an elevated man or an exalted man, physical body, and Jesus and the Holy Spirit are separate beings. They would say Jesus is a God, but he is not the God. He became a God progressively, and the Holy Spirit's a force that's, you know, that doesn't have personality.
And if I'm not mistaken, and again, we're trying to represent things fairly here, they actually do believe that Elohim, or the Father, has a spiritual wife that birthed Jesus.
Yeah, Jesus is, their language, I think they say something to the effect of Jesus was a spirit baby of God and his wife.
So there's, right off the bat, a very fundamental difference between
right
our view of who God is.
And this goes right back to the beginning, to Joseph Smith's writings, you know, in his Doctrine and Covenants.
Yeah.
He you can go look it up, DNC 130:22.
So you mentioned Joseph Smith. Let's make a parenthetical comment here.
Yeah.
Because I don't actually see it in the outline, but why is he so important to LDS theology? What's his place?
He's the founder.
Yeah.
He's the founder. We didn't talk about the history of this. This is an American religion that started in the 19th century by Joseph Smith, who claims that he ran into Morani, an angel, in the woods in New England during the Second Great Awakening. And he translated some golden tablets that was presented to him. The tablets are lost, but he was able to translate it, and that's the Book of Mormon.
Yeah.
Now, the Book of Mormon is very different than the Scriptures, although they would say this is part of the Christian Scripture canon. Like, they would put it alongside Scripture.
They call it another testament of
Jesus
Christ. Another
testament of Jesus Christ, yeah. But it's so different. Like, it's a history of Israel. It's one narrative. It's pretty flat and monotone, and, you know, like, a lot of Americanisms, a lot of like biblical anachronisms, meaning things that the New Testament portrays about the Old Testament, like things that, you know, like that he's importing into Old Testament history, you know, in that time period, New Testament concepts, which the Bible never does. The Bible is very clearly not anachronistic. Like it, you know, you can see the progressive revelation of God in those scriptures. Not so with the Book of Mormon. And so there, and there's, you know, there's stylistic deficiencies. There's shifts in person that are odd. There's a lot of difference. Like it's definitely, I've read the whole thing. It doesn't have that feel of scripture to me, you know? Now, of course I'm coming to it as a Christian, but it doesn't have the, even the literary quality, like it kind of mimics the King James.
Yes.
and yet it's obviously, and not accurately all the time, you know, and as far as the usage of ye and the, you know, the, and you know, the the differences in language.
So this was written in the 1800s by Joseph Smith, claiming that he had these golden tablets from the angel Moroni. And he, as far as I understand, no one else ever saw these tablets except
just
him.
Just him.
Only him. And he sat behind a curtain and did this. He had no language training, but he was claims to have been given supernatural ability to translate these.
Yeah.
It also contains supposed accounts of, you know, descendants from Israelites coming to North America, and it claims that the Nephilim are not the Nephilim. What was the? I can't think of the word, but it claims this one group of people. They try to make this connection
Naphtali.
The Native Americans that Jesus appeared to them, and there's a whole lot of stuff that is not only not doesn't align with the rest of scripture, but it doesn't even align with history.
Not with history. And again, there's lots of it's an odd account in so many ways.
Yeah,
and definitely the setting is America, like it's an American product.
Right,
you know, there's even like language that is arguably borrowed from the constitutional writings. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and so it's. The political debates, the theological, here's a mark of, you know, again, we're not just bashing things. This is just true. Here's a mark of inauthenticity. Okay. Mm. The debates that were hot during that era, the theological debates that were hot among Christians in that era are brought up, in this book, and they're as if they had the same weight back then. And that's just not how things work. You know? So very interesting.
Yeah. So it's the Lamanites.
Oh, the Lamanites.
Lamanites. Yeah. As one of the believed people referenced in the Book of Mormon to be the Native Americans. So we kind of took a little bit of a rabbit trail there, but I think this is important because
it's the history of Mormon.
Right. They have this whole other book that they claim is another testament of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
That you have to accept alongside the Bible in order to believe their doctrines.
Right.
And it becomes very, very cumbersome.
Yeah, and they have three. You know, they have the Book of Mormon, Doctrine and Covenants, and the Pearl of Great Price.
Yeah, yeah. Well, what do Mormons, we've already said this, what they believe about God, what they believe about Jesus.
Yeah.
Okay. Do we want to say anything more about that?
Yeah, just that he's the first spirit child of God the Father and the Heavenly Mother, a separate being who became divine through progression.
And
very different from how we view him. A lot of Christians, and this is helpful, like when you debate a Mormon, when you start talking about the truth with a Mormon, a lot of Christians go right to the divinity of Christ, and they assert that Mormons deny the divinity of Christ, which they deny that they deny the divinity of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
They just do not believe that he is one with the Father, that he is, you know, like God.
Yeah,
you know, they say he is a God.
A God, yeah. Who's Jesus' brother?
Satan.
Yeah, Lucifer. they will say that Lucifer is the actual brother of Jesus.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we're talking about a very, very different view of who God is compared to Christianity, biblical Christianity.
And again, this is going to sound like we're bashing, but we're really not. This is historically accurate. There's a lot of racism that was involved in that too, in that day. Like in Lucifer was black and Jesus was white, you know? And, you know, there's, I think until 1978, they weren't allowed to ordain black people. because of that. Now, they have renounced that. They have renounced that. And when we get to authority and prophets and things like that, we'll talk about why they can renounce things and still be in good standing. But they have renounced those things, in all fairness. Like I don't think most Mormons today are racists. I don't think that at all. But it definitely had some racism in their origins.
How do you get saved as a Mormon? How do you go to heaven? What is salvation?
Yeah, so that's the best question. What's salvation? Yeah. Because it's like, how do you get to heaven? They have a different view of all of that, you know. Like, but you know, we starting with us Christian salvation is by grace through faith alone, and you know, by grace alone through faith alone and Christ alone. That's how we are saved. Christ's work on the cross, not by our own works. We were dead in our trespasses. Christ made us alive together with Him. For Mormons, there's a general resurrection for all. And this is interesting. Like I often, when we get to this point in our discussions, I often kind of cheekily, because I'm this way, I say, well, then I'm actually okay if I just don't believe what you believe.
Yeah. Because <You know?
laughs> there's a general resurrection for all. It's like a common grace kind of idea. But then true, like people who are in the church, there's, you know, repentance, baptism, temple ordinances and obedience; those things come together to work out your salvation. Mm,
yeah,
it's works.
It is works. Yep. It ultimately lands on works, and that's why I don't profess to be an expert in all of this. But there are a number of temple ceremonies. There's a number of things that they do that these things are actually, you know, meriting God's favor.
Yeah.
They're earning your salvation.
Yeah, earning your salvation, and you know. I'm not an expert either, you know, but there's, you could potentially like have your own planet and different things like that. When you talk about the eternal, destiny of the saints, as it were, so huge marked differences in the way that we view the afterlife and the way that they do.
But there's also too, the view that, that marriage itself can be eternal. Yeah. Like earthly marriage that you have.
Gender is eternal.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So in which, you know, a marriage can be sealed for all of eternity in a temple ceremony that allows you to have your spiritual family for the rest of your, you know, of eternity in heaven. So, there's a lot. It's just so different.
It is so different.
We can't really comprehensively in a 35-minute podcast cover all those differences and dive into it.
But you know what? If our listeners come away with understanding there is a huge difference, I'd be happy, you know, because that's really what we're trying to say. There is a huge difference between the true gospel and the gospel that Mormons believe. Mm. And I want Christians to be aware. I want Christians to be aware. Because Paul said, if anyone, an angel of heaven or anyone else preaches another gospel, let him be accursed, you know? And I don't want the gospel, I don't want people to be duped by a false gospel.
Right. Yeah. What role does Scripture for Mormons play? And we talked a little bit about the Book of Mormon. We talked about the Doctrine of the Covenants, the
Pearl of Great Price.
But let's unpack that a little bit. So what are we talking about here?
Yeah, Scripture.
They believe in the Bible?
Yeah, if they're going to have a stool, like we talked about a stool last time, it would be a stool with four legs, you know? So they believe in the Scriptures, the Christian Bible, as long as it's interpreted rightly. So they would reject most of the way that we see the Bible as speaking for itself, but they believe in the Scriptures. They believe in the Pearl of Great Price, a book that was written, and Doctrines and Covenants, and then the Book of Mormon is very important to them. If you see they do a lot of reading outside of the Bible. I think the portion of reading would be outside of the Scriptures.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They have something that's called the burning in the bosom that takes place.
Yeah.
When, you know, it's one of the...
It's like when they're talking to you about the gospel or when they're trying to win you, that's the last thing they refer to.
Well, part of it is they want you to read the Book of Mormon and they want you to read it and read it and read it until you get what's this warm, strong feeling of comfort and peace that is supposedly supposed to be from the Holy Spirit convicting you that this is true.
Yeah.
You read it and read it and read it until you believe it's true.
Yeah.
So put aside all of your inhibitions about the historical inaccuracies, is what they would say, and just read it, and then you'll get this burning in your bosom that convicts you that it's true.
Yeah, and that's right. And what I mentioned was like that when I'm talking to a Mormon, that's usually the last thing they bring up. They'll say, you know what, though? I know that this is true. I have felt it in my heart.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I have felt it. That I know, and you would too if you would read it.
And actually, knowing some ex-Mormons who have converted to true Christianity, to true biblical Christianity. That's one of the things that was kind of, I would say, a hole that got poked in their belief, was that they never felt like they could get that burning in their bosom about this truth. Like, they kept reading the Book of Mormon and kept getting these contradictions. They never had that burning in their bosom, you know, as they would call it, and this peace about it. And it caused them to begin to doubt that, I don't believe this is another testament of Jesus Christ because it doesn't align with the Bible. Mm. And so again, that's kind of perhaps as we get into some of the ways and how we relate to Mormons, how we can talk with them, kind of poke holes in that belief.
Absolutely. And you know, the scriptures, they for Christians are the final authority. And so, you know, you quoted the catechism, We love those kinds of things, and we've talked about this before, but the scriptures, like, we line up things, like, if I preach a sermon, like, it could be a good sermon, right? But for Christians, for that to be a good sermon, it has to line up with what the Bible teaches.
Right. Yes.
Yeah. And a book could be a good book, but it has to line up with what the scripture teaches. A creed can be a good creed, but it has to line up with what the scripture teaches.
Right.
And that's why we reject the Mormon writings.
Yes.
Because they do not.
Right. And that's a very good point to make. We're not, as believers, we're not against things like confessions and creeds and doctrinal statements. All of those things are good, but they are not infallible.
Right.
They are not the Word of God. They're articulations of what we believe to be biblical truth, what we would say is biblical, but ultimately Scripture stands above all of that.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. How do we view the nature of man and sin? So let me just take the Christian position here. We as biblical Christians would say that man was created perfect in the Garden of Eden and fell into sin and is born totally depraved. Hmm. We're born without the ability to obey God perfectly or merit any favor before him. And so we're born in our trespasses and sins, dead in our trespasses and sins, as Ephesians 2 says. And so we need our sins atoned for, and we need to be clothed in the righteousness of God himself through Christ Jesus in order to stand before God holy and just and be saved. Yeah. So we believe man is by nature a sinner and by desire a sinner.
Yeah. And I think the Mormons view this differently, and I would have to do, you know, I'm stretching my memory, but it seems like I had a Mormon tell me one time that, you know, the Christians view, like, the starting place as a minus. You know, here we are in a deficit before God because we're born in sin and needy, and they don't believe that. But they believe that man is born innocent, and then the accumulation of his guilt is what contributes to his fallenness.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So what then is the ultimate goal of a believer? And are we talking about Mormon believers here? Or are we talking about Christian believers?
Christian believers. Comparing? Yeah. Christian believers, the ultimate goal is to, you know, to love God and enjoy him forever.
Yeah. I'm going to quote it. Yeah. You quoted a catechism there. Yeah. Glorify God and enjoy him forever. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
The Mormons' idea is, you know, you want to become like God. You can achieve that esteem status of being able to rule over your own world in the afterlife.
Yeah. It's a little science fiction-y. I know this is going to sound unkind, but it almost sounds like a science fiction.
It sounds to me like somebody who is thinking up their own religion in middle of the 19th century America.
Yeah.
That's what it sounds
like. And even they have this this belief that there's this star, Kolob, that is, there's an actual star out there in some kind of celestial place in the galaxy that is close to the throne of God himself. And it's interesting. Okay, this is going to show. I'm going to take out my nerd card here, but it's, you know, the old show Battlestar Galactica.
Yeah.
Was drawn from some a little bit of like Mormon theology.
I didn't know that.
Yeah,
that's pretty.
So
cool.
Like when the people from Caprica are, yeah, this is, I mean, I'm totally nerding out here. Yeah. But when they're searching for the planet Kobol. To settle after the attack of the Cylons and all that. So Kobol is actually kind of an allusion to Kolob, the star in the Mormon theology where that is close to the throne of God. Yeah. So anyway, it seeps in. I don't think they were trying to evangelize through that show because there's actually a lot of things in the show that would be probably Mormons would say that's against our theology. But the writers of the show drew from some Mormon imagery. So
fascinating.
You take Mormonism out, it's just, I mean, it becomes a science fiction show.
Wow.
To its natural extreme. So anyway,
yeah.
I just thought I would throw that out there as an interesting tidbit.
So views about the church, how are they different? You want to go with the Christian one?
Views of the church are very different. We would say in the universal church, and the local church is the expression of that. Universal church is all Christians everywhere of all time who have been redeemed by the blood of Christ. The local church is that visible expression of that in which believers come together in covenant and worship together and are led by biblical leadership, and they serve one another. And that's it in a nutshell, what we believe as Christians about the church.
LDS, they believe that they are the one true church, the restored church. They talked about restoration a lot. And the exclusive priesthood authority rests with them for all modern revelation.
Wait, we don't believe we're the one true church at Faith Baptist?
But huge difference. Like they would say that we're a non-restored church. Like we need to be restored.
Yeah.
You know, in the very beginning, they accused all of Christianity of becoming apostate.
Mm.
You know, and the restoration movement was the LDS church.
How do they view prophets and Revelation today? Because that's a big one.
Huge difference. You know, so I want to bring up, you know, there's this like black and white thing in me that just wants to say to a Mormon, but wait, I can document all these changes in your theology that are so drastic, like night to day, you know, like the reversal on racism in 78, you know, those kinds of things. And they just, you know, it's like water off a duck's back because they believe that authority, apostolic authority, continues, and you know, a president of the church now can issue a prophecy which reverses a prophecy before, and in the progressive mystery of God's revelation, now this new thing is true and that old thing is no longer true.
Yes,
no longer true. Like they don't call it a lie, you know. So I mean, this really gets me because I'm an authority guy. Like I want to know where my authority comes from, and the scriptures are once and for all immutably true. That's not so with evolving Mormon doctrine.
Yeah, and in the Christian belief, we believe the canon is closed.
Right.
We believe. And here's the thing. I want to be fair because—
The Bible cannot be added to.
The Bible cannot be added to. There are faithful biblical Christians who might make the case and argue that prophecy continues, but they define it differently as other than something than new revelation
from
God.
Most of them would still be closed canon people.
Right, exactly. Right.
So the canon is closed.
Yeah. Our friends in Sovereign Grace churches out there would say prophecy continues, but they would define it as— not extra biblical revelation that is adding to the canon. They would call it something different. Yeah. Whereas what we're talking with Mormons is it's actually authoritative from God.
Oh man, yeah, this is new revelation and it's clear and it's scriptural authority basically.
You know?
And that's why they can change. That's why they can change fundamental aspects of their doctrine, which don't align with modern society.
Yeah.
You know, like polygamy and other things. You know, they can change because society is kind of forcing them to. And there's no problem. There's no problem. Which for us, it's a problem, right?
Yeah. I mean,
because you know, if
it's a huge problem.
If it changes, that means that something was not true that you believed. You know, but again, this is gonna be a non-starter in the conversation with a Mormon because they believe that apostolic authority continues, which means the canon's opened, as it were, and new revelation trumps old, or changes old.
Let's talk about baptism.
Yeah.
How do they view baptism? What is significantly different between Christian baptism and Mormon baptism?
Mostly that it's salvific. Like mostly, I mean, there's a couple of different differences. One, proxy baptism is a huge thing. You can be baptized in the place of a relative, a dead relative even, for their salvation, or always a dead relative, for their salvation. And, you know, it's salvific. So baptism has a saving effect in the Mormon way of thinking. And the Christian way of thinking, you know, we talked about this last week when we compared Catholic doctrine with Christian doctrine with Baptists. And we don't believe that. We believe that it's an outward expression of an inward reality. You know, we believe that it shows forth what's happened in the, on the inside, that the water isn't mystical or saving,
yeah,
but that Christ is saving and Christ alone. And a believer is buried and risen again with Christ in the identification, that baptism is an outward expression of
that. And that's one of the reasons why Mormons are... or LDS people are so
good with genealogy.
Genealogy. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they,
that is the reason.
Right.
I think.
Yeah.
You know, it's so that proxy baptism, so they can do it, you know, so they can. So we're thankful. I mean, we can find so much good genealogy, our own genealogy sometimes through them. But
where do we start then? You know, LDS missionaries come to our door, we encounter them out on the streets. Yeah. We haven't covered this subject comprehensively. Again, we're just, this is very 30,000 foot flyover.
Yeah.
Giving us a compare and contrast here. Where do we start with, our neighbor? They're our neighbors.
Yeah.
And so
love, respect, grace.
Yeah.
You know, those kinds of things, kindness, never, never Christian, never be rude to anyone.
Yes.
You know, there's no reason to be rude to anyone. Love, love them, you know, love them enough to talk to the gospel with them. And, you know, I've said this, I say this all the time to people about all kinds of different contexts. Tell them what the gospel is. Don't tell them what they believe. I think you'll just get into their little rabbit holes and, you know, you'll never come out, you know, and you might not get it right, what they actually do believe. It's dangerous business when you start telling somebody what they believe. You know, I mean, we're doing it here, but we're doing it with the hopes of helping to educate on Mormon, stated Mormon doctrine. But I don't encourage, and I don't do this anymore either. I used to try to tell Mormons what they believe. And again, we get into this little, you know, semantic debate or whatever. Now I tell them about the gospel, the goodness of Christ, the saving power of trust in Him alone, the authority of the scriptures and why they stand above all else, and why we should go to them for life's questions and answers.
That's so good.
Yeah, those kinds of things.
Yeah.
And that's how I think we should do it. I think we should love them. I think we should befriend them to an extent, you know, and show the love of Christ. What do you say?
I agree 100% with everything you said. I'm a firm believer that we as Christians should do all things with honor and respect in how we interact with people. We're not, Christianity doesn't call us to punch the other person in the mouth.
Yeah.
Find those opportunities to share the gospel. Don't try to posit yourself as an expert in Mormonism and try to tell them what they believe. You know, I point blank will tell them I reject the Book of Mormon as another testament of Jesus. And so if they want to have any conversation with me, it's got to be around just scripture and scripture alone.
Yeah.
And let that be the guide.
And I'll often invite them in, you know, they're usually much younger than I am. That's helpful, you know. Yeah. And I invite them in. I say, you know, why don't you do this? Why don't you tell me for, you know, 5-10 minutes what you believe and what you want me to believe? And then give me that time and just listen to me and hear me out on this. And if they agree to that, I just really enjoy talking to them about the gospel.
Yeah.
Because I know it has the power to save all who believe.
Yes. And they are genuinely nice people.
Yeah.
I mean, and if you look into what Mormon missionaries generally have to do, the kind of life they have to live for 2 years, I mean, they're probably eager to have conversations with other human beings.
Yeah.
and they
get a lot of door slams. They get a lot of those kinds of things. And I try not to be one of that is rude or, you know, go away. I don't want to talk to you.
Look for those opportunities. Well, this has been good. If you have any questions about this, feel free to send them our way. You can go to sifpodcast.com, find our link tree there where you can ask us questions, buy merch, all of those happy things like that. But we've got another What's the Difference episode coming up next week.
Yeah, we're two in. We've got five to go.
Five total. Yep. Yeah, so you can check us out online, sifpodcast.com, all the deets there that you want. For the Sound and Faith Podcast, I'm Pastor Thomas.
And I'm Pastor Mike.
And Lord willing, we'll see you Sunday.